Welcome to Breaking Character, the podcast dedicated to Southwest Michigan's arts and entertainment scene. I'm Jeremy D. Bonfiglio.
And I'm Paul Mao. Breaking Character is sponsored by the Mendel Center at Lake Michigan College, the Harold Palladium, with additional support by Twin City Players, Krasl Arts Center, and the Mason Jar Cafe. On today's episode, we'll hear a bit of Jeremy's interview with Mark Antoine, who performs Saturday at Silver Beach as the headliner for the 98.3 The Coast Smooth Jazz at Sunset concert. And we will chat with Lauren Kunkel, who performs tonight at the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center as part of the Southwest Michigan Symphony Orchestra's Casual Classic Series. Plus, we will have our weekly rundown of other events taking place this weekend and beyond.
We open today's episode with Corey Wollison of the Krasl Arts Center, who is joining us in the studio again this morning to talk about what is really the event of the summer here in Southwest Michigan's Twin Cities.
What's up, Corey?
And that, of course, is the 56th annual Krasl Art Fair on the Bluff, which takes over Lake Bluff Park all weekend long.
Takes it over.
It literally takes it over.
For real. You won't see any grass. You see art.
The event kicks off Friday night with the block party, which this year includes a performance by St. Joe's own Jenna Mina and her musical partner, Rolf Sturm, as well as the official opening party of Beach Season, the new exhibition we highlighted last weekend, which features the beautiful black and white photography of Harvey Stein's acclaimed series, Coney Island 40 Years, as well as some beach-inspired sculpture by Carol Furman. Then, of course, Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's the main event, has more than 200 world-class artists from across the U.S. representing 19 media categories converge on Lake Bluff Park. There's so much to talk about, so let's just dive in. Corey, first of all, thanks for being with us again this week.
Thank you. My pleasure. Happy to be here. It is a really, really crazy week at the Krasl and with the holiday weekend. And we're thrilled to be able to talk to your audience and let them know how exciting the art fair is going to be this year.
Yeah.
So it starts tomorrow. So
yeah. Yeah.
Get on board, right?
Let's start with that. Let's start with the block party. First of all, you know, tell us just a little bit about it, because this has really become a chance for the community to celebrate the event.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of art fairs across the country do a variety of different ways as they kind of launch and get going. And I like to think of the block party as a bit of a soft opening. So yeah. it's a way that the community can come before the crush of the weekend is here.
Yeah.
And a lot of the artists are setting up, they're mingling, you know, they're grabbing a drink themselves. So you get to really be up close and personal with those artists who will be on the Bluff all weekend. And of course, this year, we're also opening an exhibition.
Right,
so
right,
same
the,
night.
You know, the Beach Season exhibition also had a soft opening this weekend,
yeah.
But truly our launch for the Beach Season opening of the black and white photographs and sculpture is this Friday night.
Yeah.
So, you know, double dipping and a couple of different things at once. It'll be really festive, really fun. Big party, you know, beer and wine garden, open to the public,
cool,
no
cool.
charge
yeah.
for, you know, for experiencing the art. And definitely, you know, you want to make plans to be there for that. It's 5 to 9 p.m. And we've got some special stuff happening with that,
yeah.
like Silver Beach selfies. I don't know if you guys come to do that before, but they're setting up their selfie station.
Fun.
So you'll be able to do some beach themed selfies and tag us in social media.
Nice.
Hashtag is Krasl AF, so be sure to use that.
I love that. I
also,
love that. So hip.
Hashtag Krasl Block Party. But definitely come down, check it out. Live music, entertainment, lovely food by the food trucks, and also by our partner Bistro on the Boulevard. We'll be doing macaroons and fruit kebabs inside.
Yummy.
So it's going to be great.
Food, drink, art, music.
People you love.
People you love and know.
Vista, sunset.
Vista,
what
sunset.
The heck?
On. What's
Bring
not
your
amazing?
Money so that you can buy
your
the
money.
Drinks
right.
and support the Krasl.
And now we have Uber so you can take yourself home
exactly.
and not worry about drinking and driving.
Have you tried Uber yet here? No, not here.
Yeah. Yeah. I got this one driver so far.
There's one driver.
Right.
All right. All y'all out there, become Uber drivers, right?
Yeah.
By Friday.
Yeah.
By Friday. Come on.
Take that test.
We're counting on you. Now, of course, that's just the warm-up. I mean, that just tells you something right there. That is just the warm-up to
Yeah, I mean, this week is a marathon. So we, you know, I think what's been really fun for me is to see how many facets of the community that the art fair involves. I mean, we work with the City of St. Joe. We work with Parks and Recreation. Right. We're working with Chupan Recycling this year out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, to really up our recycling game and up the fair.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have about 205 artists. We've lost and gained a couple even in the last weeks.
205.
Yeah, 205. Well, it's 205 like booths, but a couple artists exhibit in more than one discipline. Yeah. And then, of course, we have our old favorites like the Emerging Artist Tent, young artists from this area, college age and high school age students, and then Fired Up from Water Street Glassworks. Yeah. So they'll have their, you know, we're really trying to professionalize those opportunities for young artists so that they know what it's like to be in a world-class fair.
And you tried something, you guys are doing something a little different with the Emerging Artist Tent. So let's bring that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So our Emerging Artist Tent, we're trying to give our more experienced artists, so our college age artists will be on Saturday and they'll be exhibiting all day. And then on Sunday, we'll have our younger artists and they'll be coming and going a little bit more in shifts. But historically, we did all shifts of artists. And we felt like it was more realistic for those experienced artists to set their show and have it run much more like a gallery.
Right.
So we're trying to give them that experience of thinking about what works they need to bring, thinking about how they present those works. And so I think, you know, Saturday, those college age artists will really get a taste of what it might like to be a working artist in a gallery or in an art fair
setting.
That's
a great experience for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the artist as a whole, the professional artist. You mentioned about 205 booths this year, but what people don't really remember is you guys get almost 1,000 submissions to be in this every year.
Absolutely. And people don't also perhaps know that it is a very competitive process.
Yeah.
And artists apply in a formal application process with slides of their work and a jury of their peers, basically. So other art fair artists or faculty members who teach in the visual arts review their work and make selections. And so it's very difficult to get in. We admit about a third of the applicants and then you know, there are many artists who would love to get into the show who just keep trying every year. And some, you know, some do and some don't. But it's a great group. It's a very, you know, we sort of have some subspecialties. We've got a fair number of jewelry artists, which we have historically had. And then I think clay is our clay and then paintings are our next kind of largest categories. But really, there's something for everyone. And we're thinking about doing some innovative things for 2018 as we look toward the revamp of the Krazzle grounds. I was actually at a competitor's fair. Well, not really competitors, but a neighboring fair this weekend up in South Haven. And they do this really interesting program. One of the artists, not the fair itself, but she's a young artist. And so I'm thinking, you know, we should do a 30 under 30 section, you know, 30 artists under 30 years of age, and really get those young people who want to collect and who may not have the means to spend on a more expensive piece of art, get them to the fair, get them starting their collection and make it really affordable for everyone.
I like that 30 under 30.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah,
it'd be super fun.
So that brings us to the next question. Is there a turnover? Do you allow returning artists year after year, or is it completely new every year? How does that work?
Sure. So with the exception of the previous year's award winners, which is approximately 20 artists, it is a completely blank slate.
Wow.
So we readmit 20, and then the other 180 spots are open. You know, other fairs do it a little bit differently, and the Krazzle Fair has done it slightly differently in the past. But this year, almost 100 of our artists are new artists.
Wow.
And so really like half and half new and returning, I think is great because it gives people who are looking forward to it both something that they can recognize, but also that sense of freshness and some new stuff to see and experience.
Yeah,
from all over the world, right? They're not just regional.
Yeah, I mean, they're mainly US based, but definitely, you know, a national group of artists.
Right.
And it'll be a great show. You know, the weather forecast looks great.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't hesitate to come out. Don't park downtown. Take the shuttles. Download our mobile app. We have an app this year.
Yeah.
So if you want information about the artists or about our performing arts garden, our beer and wine garden, it's all on the app that was developed by Far Ahead Apps through the MailMax Group.
Yeah.
It's a great app. Go to iTunes. Go to Google Play. download the Krazzle Art Fair app, and you can get some special information and enter to win some fabulous prizes.
Right. So. And now, obviously, we can't talk about all the artists, but there's with that many, but is there a couple that maybe we should kind of keep your eye open for? I mean, I know the poster artist is always kind of
absolutely
fun.
Well, everybody loves to see the poster artist. His name is Stephen Palmer. I don't have his booth number off the top of my head, but download the app and you can get it.
There you go.
Stephen Palmer is a Michigan artist, and he does like whimsical three-dimensional fish sculptures. He uses found objects like tennis rackets or rulers or, you know, bits of golf clubs. And he has very, very fun and whimsical. You know, we do have some local artists who'll be there. Lynn Tan is a local artist at the Box Factory.
Love Lynn stuff. Yeah.
Randall Higdon is a local artist who will be exhibiting. So definitely if you get to that app and you can take a quick spin through, you can see there are a number of Michigan artists, and we love supporting local art, and that's really important to the vibrancy of our community. And you guys are doing that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, for people who are scared of technology,
look at this. We have this lovely thing. It's called a guidebook.
Yeah, I still have the guidebook.
And we still have the paper guidebook. Yes. And you can take that home and write all your notes on it. You know, come and scope it all out on Saturday and then return on Sunday with ready to purchase.
Yeah, so. And you guys are going to have those available, obviously, at the Krazzle Friday Night Party.
They're all over town already.
All over already.
Yeah.
And don't bring your pet, please. Yeah. You know, remind people that
no peeing on paintings.
No, we love pets, but not for the art fair weekend. And there's all sorts of other activities that are happening, like smooth jazz, et cetera.
So. Absolutely. And you guys will have like the kids zone there, and you guys have all kinds of other kind of activities.
Absolutely.
Running around
food
the
whole court, kids zone. You know, we have a faculty tent has moved to the north end of the bluff. So our faculty tent will be up near the Whitcomb. It's booth number 198. And those are folks who teach at the Krazzle, our Krazzle instructors.
Yeah.
Some local artists there as well that you'll recognize. So definitely make a point to stop in and see them too.
Absolutely. Well, this is such a fun event, and we're so excited every year to have this. You know, my son is 10, so one of my favorite things is that you guys still have the children's purchase program, which
is
a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Which, for people who don't know, it's you know, certain artists will have these little flags up and have items available for kids to purchase at a really reasonable price point, which I think is
exactly awesome.
Well, thanks so much again. To run down everything, the Friday Night Block Party and the Beach Season Opening Party takes place 5 to 9 o'clock, or is it going to go a little later?
It's 5 to 9 is really the bar service, but you are welcome to come until 10 o'clock.
All
bar
right,
shuts down at 9.
Okay, there you go. So last call, 9 o'clock. Remember
right,
that, people.
Right, exactly.
All right, Friday night at the Krazzle Art Center on the grounds there and inside at 707 Lake Boulevard, St. Joe. Admission, of course, is free. Then the Krazzle Art Fair on the Bluff is 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at Lake Bluff Park in downtown St. Joe.
Also free.
And we wanted to remind people about parking. Parking is available at Kelly's Bowl at 2705 Cleveland Avenue and Edgewater Business Center located at 511 Renaissance Drive. Shuttle buses are going to run continuously to drop off and pick up guests at the north end of the bluff, the corner of Lake Boulevard and Ship Street. The shuttle runs Saturday 9:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're just asking people for a dollar donation is requested per ride. And again, everything else is free, and you know, except for food purchases and all the art you're going to bring home and stick in your house.
Right.
So, again, for additional information, you can call the Krazzle at 983-0271 or go to krazzle.org or, of course, download the new Krazzle Art Fair app. Thanks, Corey, again, for being with us today. It's always great to see you.
Well, thanks, guys.
And I know it's been a busy week for you, so we love that you took some time out for
us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Our pleasure.
You can sleep next week, right?
Yeah, next week. words of Warren Zevon, right? I'll sleep when I'm dead.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Since emerging as a force in contemporary jazz in the mid-90s with a sound captured in the title of his debut album, Classical Soul, Marc Antoine has shared his musical wanderlust with a discography infused with journeys from his native Paris to Madrid to Tokyo, Los Angeles, and now the California surf town Laguna Beach. which inspired the music of his latest album of the same name. On Saturday, Mark headlines the 15th annual Smooth Jazz at Sunset concert at Shadowland Pavilion on Silver Beach, which is held in conjunction with the Kreslar Fair on the Bluff each year. Jeremy recently caught up with him to talk about what we can expect from the concert.
I always manage to play like the, you know, during the set, at least the older hits, because the audience that discovered me with these, you know, those songs. But it's not, it's pretty much a mixture of a lot of different styles, you know, from all my different songs. So it's basically taking people on a trip with me for the time of the show. You know, we could go to Brazil, we could go to Spain, we could go to France, we could go through pretty much everywhere.
And we're also going to go to Laguna Beach, where Antoine and his family moved in 2015 after 12 years in Madrid. Laguna Beach, as Paul mentioned, also happens to be the title of Mark's latest album, last year's debut on the Woodward Avenue Records label, which certainly serves as an homage to his adopted hometown.
It's not really chosen. It's more of a natural process. You know, I write music with more related to moods than try to force writing a song. I know a lot of songwriters have a hard time writing. Sometimes it's because you don't let it go.
Right.
So when I write music, it's pretty much a let-go process. You know, it's a very natural process. You know, I guess I'm lucky I'm able to do this. But as far as Laguna Beach, it's just a place we decided to move back to with my wife and my son. We were in Madrid for about 12 years. Previously to this, I was in LA with her also, and we discovered this place and fell in love with it, and so the music was all happy about it. Well, on the beach for sure, you know, I put like some vocal samples in the back. I'm just imagining like people, like, you know, you hear all kinds of sounds when you're on the beach, not only the waves, you hear the people scream, dog, laugh, you know, so it's kind of it's highlighted in a way with that vocal sample, for example, in the beach.
Now, Mark grew up in Paris and first decided to pick up the guitar from a pretty familiar source of inspiration.
Well, I grew up in France, and we were listening to a lot of radio. My parents were playing all kinds of different music, from, you know, Miles Davis to more rock stuff, Jimi Hendrix, you know, pop music of the time, you know. So I was exposed to music early on, and I remember when I was a real kid, like about 4 or 5 years old, singing melodies I would hear on TV, right?
Yeah.
And about 7 years old, they bought me a guitar. It was a toy. It was almost a playable instrument, but it's still not. And so I would plug the, you know, I had a cord, and they had a cord with the cable, basically, and the chair was the amp, and I was watching the Beatles in black and white on TV and dancing in front, and my parents thought it was crazy. We still were probably right anyway.
Yeah, right.
And at the age of 11 years old, I had a friend of mine who was playing guitar, and I was just completely infatuated. I had to have one. So I won a small scooter race in my area and made a little money. So I went to buy a guitar, and the next day I went to him with a guitar and asked him to teach me some chords, right, or whatever he was doing. And that was it. And I fell in love with it like very quickly. In 3 weeks, 3 weeks after I bought the guitar, I didn't let the guitar go like one day.
Then obviously, you know, your parents, you know, saw, you know, your skill, and you went to the conservatory in Paris. Tell me about having classical lessons and what kind of foundation that gave you with the guitar.
Well, any classical foundation is good, you know, for anybody. You know, the teaching is to be advanced, and so it's always been a good base for a musician to be classically trained. I started completely off that path. Although, you know, for about 2 years, and after 2 years, I was limited because I couldn't read music, I couldn't understand certain things, you know. So that's when they sent me to the conservatory to learn more.
And then in the summer of 81, at age 18, Mark's budding career was sidelined by an injury to his left hand while playing with a family dog, an accident that actually sent him crashing through a glass door. The surgeon who removed the shards of glass from his hand told him that his chances of playing guitar again were slim to none.
3 years after that, I hurt my hand, which made a stop in a career I wanted to pursue, which was become a classical guitar player, actually. And maybe some other things, you know. But I was very infatuated by jazz anyway, so I was already playing a lot of jazz back then. And yeah, I had that terrible accident. It was very unfortunate, and pretty much cut off my nerves and tendons. I mean, some pretty extensive damage to the hand. And the surgeon told me, you'll probably never play guitar again.
Tell me about how the guitar really became part of the rehabilitation process for you.
The guitar was the rehabilitation, and that's what the surgeon said after I went to see him a couple of years after the surgery. He said, because you were a guitar player, he said, your hand, without being a guitar player, there's absolutely no way you would have saved it. It was very hard, you know, and I don't want to talk about it too much because it was a very difficult 2-3 years of my life.
And after a rigorous rehabilitation process over the next 3 years, Mark returned to the Paris scene with a renewed focus on a jazz career rather than a classical one. He moved to London, where he joined Bazia, taking part in London's acid jazz scene. Since then, he has lived in Tokyo, Madrid, and Los Angeles, where he's played with everyone from Sting to Queen Latifah and contributed to the movie soundtracks Get Shorty, The Fan, Patch Adams, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, Demolition Man, and Celtic Pride. He has recorded 12 albums as a solo artist in the jazz fusion world, including Madrid, Universal Language, Cruisin', Mediterraneo, and Modern Times. Let's take a listen to one of his bigger early hits, Latin Quarter, which was the first single from 1995 sophomore release, Urban Gypsy. Once again, Mark Antoine headlines the 15th annual Smooth Jazz at Sunset concert, put on, of course, by 98.3 The Coast, which we're recording in the studio today, so we should probably mention that, right?
Plug, plug, plug.
Yeah, so plays 7:30 Saturday at Shadowland Pavilion, Silver Beach County Park, which is at 101 Broad Street, St. Joe. Gates open at 6 o'clock, and tickets range from $25 to $35, depending on advance or at the gate. For more info, call 925-1111 or visit smoothjazzatsunset.com.
Always a beautiful night out there.
And it's really cool.
Usually packed with people, but it's so chill.
Yeah, and especially after, like, you know, long day of shopping for art.
Right.
You know, go hang out at the beach and listen to some smooth jazz.
Exactly. St. Joseph's very own superstar in the making, Lauren Kunkel, is a singer-songwriter, an actress, and a flutist, a soon-to-be former student of mine, as well as Mike Cook's. She has performed in variety shows at St. Joseph High School and appeared in concerts at the Box Factory for the Arts, The Livery, and also as a headline artist at the Hanson Theater's Living Room Series at Lake Michigan College. Since being part of the ensemble in 2013's Shrek the Musical, she's also starred as Little Red Riding Hood in Into the Woods and Ursula in The Little Mermaid, both at Southwestern Michigan College, Natalie in Next to Normal for Twin City Players, Molly in Peter and the Starcatcher. She was the Starcatcher. Spoiler alert. At Lake Michigan College and doing TCP. And most recently as Vendla in Lake Michigan College's spring production of Spring Awakening. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Now that you've graduated from high school, you are performing a farewell concert tonight, Thursday, at the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center as part of the Southwestern Michigan Symphony Orchestra's Casual Classic Series, featuring pop favorites, jazz covers, and a few originals from your self-titled CD or some other new originals, right? So tell us a little bit about this concert.
Okay, well, it's about an hour of music. Most of it is just me with the piano, singing covers of songs, one original song. And it's kind of, I like to do a mix of pop songs, old bluesy stuff, mostly just contemporary music of all kinds of styles. And I have two people joining me. Leo Carmody will be duetting with me on one song, and then Joshua Blairboger will be joining me for a couple of songs, and he's actually going to be playing guitar for it.
Nice.
Oh, very cool. And then we talked before a little bit about the CD. Tell us a little more about it. And now you recorded it with Mike, right?
No.
No?
We did it for her out of the college.
Oh, really?
Jason George.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Okay. It's mostly covers of songs. I do Imagine, House of the Rising Sun, stuff like that. And then there are two original songs that I wrote. And it's all self-accompanied on the piano, just me and the piano, very simple.
On a Steinway, of course. The best.
Yes.
Of course.
The best. A great piano.
Thanks to Lake Michigan College. Is it an 8-song EP? I can't remember.
Yes.
8, yeah. Great. Yes. Yeah. So we want to know what's up next. Tell us a little bit about where you're headed next, the Frost School of Music.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that program. Is this part of the Bruce Hornsby contemporary songwriting section of that, or is that something that might happen later?
I'm not sure if that'll happen later. Technically, okay. The degree is MADE, so it's Musicianship, Artistry Development, and Entrepreneurship. Wow. So it's a focus on vocal contemporary music. And great. Then I do also get a minor in, I think it's music business.
Very cool.
So I get a nice little rounded study there.
And you're already taking classes right now.
Yeah.
Tell us already about that. Taking some music theory before you even get there, right?
Yes. They have a high expectancy for mm-hmm. your...
Expectations are high, right?
Yes, for your music theory level once you already get there. And if you don't have that... knowledge, then you'll be behind in your courses. So I do actually have to take a music theory class online this summer before I even get there.
Wow. And this intense. Is where in Florida?
Miami. Yes. Miami. University of Miami.
She's a hurricane.
Yeah.
Go Canes.
So Paul, how did you not convince her to get a Michigan?
She got That's what in. I wanna know. She got in. I think she got a better bargain for bang for her buck and all that stuff. Miami's a great school. She's going to learn all parts of singing, songwriting, classical, as well as contemporary. So I think she made the right choice, and she's excited to hit the beach as well as the books, as well as the piano. And I think Miami's great. I lived in Miami for years, so I signed off. And so we're sad to lose her, but we knew we were going to lose her one day. And she knows this is always home for her, so hopefully she'll come back.
I'll be back.
Yeah. You're going from one beach to another. That's all right. You're rolling away. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so once again, Lauren is performing tonight at 6:00 at the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center, 601 Main Street, St. Joe, as part of the SMSO Casual Classic Series. Tickets are just $35. Includes a light dinner, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And then for more details, you can call 982-4030 or visit smso.org. Lauren, of course, thanks for being with us today, and we wish you nothing but success.
And I know, and Jeremy was very nice to put in, there's no crying on radio. And my final thoughts are not final. What I've finally learned, it took me years of, 6 weeks here, 8 weeks there, and making new friendships, but also with my students, is that it's not forever. It's not goodbye forever. It's, I'm always just a phone call or a Skype away. And Facebook keeps us close, all of us. So it's so much easier than it used to be. Never see someone ever again. And now I see people way too often on Facebook and more than you ever want. But we are going to miss you. And, we have nothing but love for you. And
we're
very, very excited for your future and excited to hear you tonight. In
all right. So last chance for a while, local peeps, go see Lauren tonight at the Heritage Museum. Thanks, Lauren, for being here again today. And of course, if that wasn't enough, there's a few other events to check out this weekend as well, if you can squeeze them in. Of course, a couple things always happening at the Livery. Melissa Lee and Bobby Randall are performing at 9:00 Friday. And then the band The Hummingbirds play at 9:00 Saturday at the Livery, 195th Street, Benton Harbor. Both shows are free. For more info, call 925-8760 or visit www.liverybrew.com. Or you can actually check out my article on the Hummingbirds in today's Sight and Sound section of the HP. They're a fun band to talk
always to. Check so. Out Jeremy's Sight and Sound section of the HP. It's the best writing in town.
Oh my gosh. Fake it well.
No, whatever. It's hard to fake print, but good for you. In addition, Motor Row Brew. Brewing presents the original Chicago Blues All-Stars at 7:30 p.m. Friday. Then the band The Lowlifes play at 8 p.m. Saturday, both of those at the Acorn Theater. 107 Generations Drive, Three Oaks. Tickets start at $20 for both shows. Call 756-3879 or visit acorntheater.com for more info.
All in Love plays their fifth reunion show at 10 p.m. both Friday and Saturday nights at Czar's 505 Pleasant Street in St. Joe. So you can go to the art fair, you can go to Czar's, check out All in Love, and they do this like kind of Tower of Power, big giant horn section and stuff. It's a fun show. Admission is the standard $5 at the door. For more info, call 983-1166 or visit www.czar's.com.
And Harry Potter is also landing. It's going to be fun. The City of St. Joseph continues its summer movie series Saturday night. After the art fair, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is being shown outdoors at 10 p.m. or right around dark at Whirlpool Centennial Park, 330 Broad Street, St. Joe. Admission is free. For details, call 983-5541.
Now, heading back to Acorn and looking ahead just a little bit, the Acorn's annual singer-songwriter competition finals takes place at 8 o'clock on July 13th at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks. Featuring the top 10 finalists chosen from a pool of submissions who will compete for prize money and future performing opportunities. This is a very cool event. And I have to laugh at this because they put three in their press material. They put three, quote unquote, prestigious judges are judging. And I'm one of those prestigious judge. What we do is we select three performers from these top 10 finalists, and then those three finalists come back and perform another original song. And then the winner is actually selected by votes in the audience. Tickets are just $10. The show sells out fast. You get to see 10 local up and coming performers all perform original music. It's really a lot of fun, and all proceeds get to support this community outreach event, which is now in its fifth year.
Can you announce those names next week?
We haven't quite announced the names, and I don't even know if they want to announce who they are until till the show. But if we can announce them next week on the podcast, we will, and let people know some of the people who are going to be there performing. And then, of course, for more details, you can call 756-3879 or visit acorntheater.com for more details on that.
Very cool. Amazing. Huge weekend again.
Art fair is always a lot of fun. You have smooth jazz. If you want to stay away, you go to the Acorn. You go to Czar's. You go to Livery. Anywhere, and there's something to do.
Every night there's been something since July 4th. You were out on the beach watching the fireworks. It's been the longest, most amazing summer week, and that's why we live here.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we visit here if we don't live here.
My old man rant is I'm glad July 4th is over.
Old man rant.
I mean, speaking for all dogs that live in America.
My dog's deaf, so he hasn't had a problem.
Oh my gosh, my dog is still like PTSD right now. We're going to have to get therapy or something. But anyway, this weekend is a whole other story. Less fireworks, still cool events. Right. So that'll do it for this week's edition of Breaking Character. Be sure to join us again next Thursday when we'll be talking about Children's Music Workshop's Teen Stock production of Guys and Dolls and the I Love the 90s tour featuring Vanilla Ice and Salt and Pepper.
Oh, yeah.
At Four Winds Casino, baby. Of course, not stolen from Queen at all.
No.
Of course, you can also read about many of the events we discussed here in Sight and Sound, as Paul kindly pointed out as well.
The weekly entertainment guide that appears each Thursday. The only
one in the Herald Palladium. Or follow me on my Facebook writer page under Jeremy D. Bonfiglio or on Twitter at HP Bonfiglio. And I promise in these interviews, I'm going to tell my coworkers to stop typing so damn loud, right?
Good Lord. I think you should do your interviews with your dog in the background barking at the fireworks.
Barking at the fireworks. All my coworkers typing as loud as possible during my interviews. I mean, we joke about it every week here, you know, internally, but I had to comment after this.
Well, you can follow me and my dog on Facebook at Mama Productions or on Twitter at PM Tenor. We want to thank our engineer, Louis Krajewski, and everyone at Midwest Family Broadcast. Broadcasting for use of the studios here, Andrew Wyatt of the band Mike Snow for the use of Black and Blue as our theme song, and our amazing sponsors, the Mendel Center, Lake Michigan College, the Harold Palladium, Twin City Players, Frazzle Arts Center, and the Mason Jar Cafe. Please subscribe to Breaking Character, 98.3thecoast.com, WSJam.com. Find it on the websites of the Harold Palladium and the Mendel Center or via iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Thanks again for listening to Breaking Character.
And type quieter.
Click, 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 click,